In the holy name of Jesus, amen. If you follow the story of Holy Scriptures closely, you'll notice that gardens play a special role in man's relationship with God. From the very beginning, gardens were the place where mankind walked with God. It's perfect. There's peace. And the Lord provides for every man's need. Of course, the very first garden was the Garden of Eden. In it, God made everything. The light, the dark, the sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, the land, the sea, the birds, the fish, the animals. He made male and female in his own image for marriage to each other. In this garden, everything was good. There was no labor needed to tend to the earth, because the grounds produced everything man needed. There was no need to worry about bad weather, because that sort of danger didn't lurk in this perfect garden. Everything was created by God, just as he intended it to be. The best part of this garden? God and man were united together in perfect harmony. Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the morning, conversed with God about all things, and they talked face to face. The Garden of Eden was where God and man were united in perfect relationship with each other. But this proved to not be enough for Adam and Eve. They didn't want to just be in a good relationship with God. They wanted to upset the hierarchy. They desired to be God. And the old evil foe caused them to question this beautiful relationship that they had with God by whispering to them that God was holding them back from something. And so Adam and Eve disobeyed the perfect Creator when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And through their disobedience, sin entered the world. And the perfect garden became a place where sinful man could no longer dwell. Through eating the fruit of the forbidden tree, they tasted death, not godliness. So Adam and Eve were exiled, banished from the garden. God even placed the cherubim with the flaming swords as guardians, lest man seek to return to the garden and eat of the tree of life. Their access to eternal life had been cut off, and to dust they were destined to return. God created us and intended for us to live in this garden, but through the sin that now pervades in the world, we're exiled to the land of darkness and death, far from God's face, filled with its light and its grace. Now, this tragedy was set for Adam and Eve and for their children and for us. And for our children. Like Adam and Eve, sin exiles us from the beautiful garden. It exiles us from God's face and presence. And we're driven out into the wilderness with sin-damaged hearts, minds, and feelings. Only if we could become perfect, only then could we return back to the garden. Only if we could prove ourselves worthy to our God by the works of our hands, then God would surely open wide the gates of heaven to us again. We could become one with God. We could walk with God once again in the coolness of the morning. Live by the fruits of the earth and not by the sweat of our brows. And not taste the sting of death. But our rebellion against God's good purposes are plain to us. Sin is still a part of us. And because of it, we can't return to the garden. We can't return to the garden by our own reason or strength. We can't enter the gates of heaven by the sweat of our brows. We're hopeless, helpless exiles. We hang our head in the presence of our Creator in humility because we know who we are. We know that because of our sins, the relationship between us and God was broken. It's the same humility we know and feel when our sins are exposed to those who have authority over us. Like when you're pulled over for going 70 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone. Or like when you were young and your parents caught you sneaking in at 2 o'clock in the morning when 11 o'clock was your curfew. Our sin humbles us before God. And we know we can't return to the garden. That is, not on our own. The journey back to the garden is too much for us. We need help. We need someone who can walk this road to paradise for us. One without sin. One who isn't at odds with God. But one whose relationship with God is perfect. We need a Messiah. And that's what God promised to send. Even though Adam and Eve were exiled from the garden, God made plans to bring all mankind back to it. And we see a picture of coming back to that garden in our reading from Revelation, where the water flows, the fruits are plentiful, and we will be face to face with God once again. That's the eternal paradise that awaits us in heaven. But in between the Garden of Eden and the paradise that awaits us in heaven, Scripture has a lot of connections to holy places that have garden-like characteristics. For example, the Promised Land. The Promised Land is described as a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a beautiful place where the Lord provides for all the needs of His people. And in this land, God established a tabernacle, and then later on, a temple, a place where God is with His people. And so the most holy place, on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, that becomes the place of the Lord's throne on earth. But due to man's sin, man isn't permitted to gaze upon the face of God. God instead veils himself to be with sinners. And so, our sin needs payment before we're allowed such an entrance into this paradise. Even when Adam and Eve fell into the sin at the Garden of Eden, God promised a Messiah who would defeat Satan. He would come through the seed of Eve, crushing Satan's head. And that battle happened at the cross, and victory was given to him. to this cross. He carried our sins, our burdens, and everything that separates us from God's garden. He sacrificed his body in our place. He returned to the dust of the earth. Not as a participant in the curse of death and its eternality, but as a conqueror of it. By bearing the burden of our sins to the cross, the dividing wall of hostility between God and man is removed. His blood cleanses us all of our sins and unrighteousness. And Jesus declares to us his victory over the curse of death, inviting us to share in the spoils of his victory, just as he did with the thief on the cross right next to him. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Now, that word paradise has Persian origins, meaning a walled garden. So Jesus granted the thief on the cross entrance into the Garden of Eden like paradise upon his death. Likewise, he invites all who die in faith. So through this victory over the great deceiver, the curse of death is reversed. And through his victory and conquering of the old evil foe, we're once again restored to heavenly paradise. The gates of heaven's garden are open to us. And the exiles of the garden will be returned to where God meant for us to be. From garden to garden, from Eden to heaven, we return from exile. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.